Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Dan Strafford, George Kurtz back here on Fantasy Sports Today, FNTSY Radio. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. If you so choose, we'll open up the phone lines in the second segment of this hour, 844-843-6879. If you have any questions about prop bets, about overall wagering, or, of course, if you want to talk some fantasy for the playoffs, some DFS, happy to hear from each and every one of you. Also, find us over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, at Dan Strafford, and at George Kurtz. Join the conversation as we talk through each and every one of these four games for Sunday and Saturday. We are through the Saturday games. We're on to Sunday, where we have a West Coast team traveling to the East Coast to play a 1 o'clock game. I haven't seen when the Chargers traveled. I assume they are more than in Baltimore. I assume they were there Thursday or Friday. Not your typical NFL schedule, obviously, with the playoffs here, but always intriguing to see how those West Coast teams do in the early game on Sunday. Somewhat intrigued, I guess, hey, give us normal football times, that the NFL didn't do a 4 and an 8 here. I don't know if that's just a scheduling thing. They have to do day games on Sunday for one reason or another, but figure there'd be more people watching later on Sunday, maybe a 4 and a 7, I should say. But either way, we have a 1, we have a 4, which I'm more than happy to oblige them on. Chargers and Baltimore here, George, and these are two good defenses. These are two good defenses. They are one in the Chargers that got Bosa back and started really moving up the ranks when it came to run defense. This is a Baltimore offense, obviously predicated on the run. You have what they're doing under center. You have Dixon and you have Gus Johnson. Gus Edwards here. You have options on both sides of the ball to run. You don't have much passing options on the Baltimore side. Obviously, with Phillip Rivers and some of those deep threats, you have some upside. But this Baltimore Ravens defense, obviously one of the best in the league. Overall, what are your thoughts on this one? They'll break down the individual contributors.
Well, as far as times and locations are concerned, I might question why, as far as wildcard weekend, they always play 1-4. Oh, 1-4:30 in this case. So that's not a surprise. But why not make the Baltimore game the 4 o'clock game? The Chicago game the 1 o'clock game? I mean, sure. Why not give the Chargers a break? You know, West Coast team coming out east and give them what would be a 1 o'clock local time for them start instead of a 10 a.m. local time. I mean, the Chicago, Baltimore, it's both on the, Chicago's, I guess, middle of the country, Baltimore's East Coast. But still, it's both going to be cold. So no advantage there by starting at which one has the night game there. Just my opinion there. I just wonder that. But once again, the NFL doesn't care about fairness, boys and girls. All they care about is what they think is best for their ratings. So let's face it, that's why. That's why Dallas gets the night game tonight. Saturday night game, prime time. I love when people are trying to figure out who's going to get the night game next week. As soon as Dallas made the playoffs, it was an automatic. Dallas was going to get that game. All right, there was no, I forget which network is covering it tonight, but you know they were fighting for it. So easy choice there. But the NFL doesn't care. I think the most intriguing thing about this game, Chargers and Ravens, now the Chargers become the first team that will have played Lamar Jackson twice. What did they learn from the first time?
Interesting.
Right? That's what it comes down to. What did they learn from the first time as far as stopping this man? Lamar Jackson still has issues throwing the ball. You know, he's far from an accomplished passer. And boy, when he becomes an accomplished passer, good luck. But he's far from that right now. All right. So, but his athleticism, his speed is out of this world. So that's the issue here. Now, granted, with he's not built like Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger when he used to move a little bit more. He's built more like a Michael Vick. And we saw what happened with Vick when he got hit and eventually he got hurt. And you wonder that could happen almost at any time with any hit on Lamar Jackson. So I do wonder about that. But once again, one and done, he's going to run. You know, if there's any doubt he's going to run. Will the Chargers have a different kind of game plan to keep him in check? Because really the game plan should be, if possible, you want to keep him in the pocket. Force him to throw the ball, not run it. You know, you'll have much more success that way. So that's really the on defense. On offense, man, they didn't look good the first game at all. And that was at home. There, Phillip Rivers is constantly harassed by that Chargers by the Ravens defense. They got to him. Maybe things will be better here. I mean, Gordon, Allen could be healthier. I think they're beat up. Really, I think the hip injury and the knee is still bothering both players respectively there. So I'm worried for the Chargers here. I truly am. I mean, this is a bad draw. Yeah, you went 12-4. Congratulations. Go to Baltimore. Bad draw. Bad draw for the Chargers here. I don't like it. I didn't like the way they played the first game. Although I'll say this. I think they almost played as bad as they could play that first game against Baltimore, yet still had a chance on the last drive to win the game. And Gates fumbled and the game's over. So I guess if you're an optimist, you can point at that, you know, that they can't possibly play any worse. And I might agree with that. I don't think they can play worse, but I'm not so sure they're going to play much better than they did in the first game. Baltimore at home, I think they're going to be feeling it. I like the Ravens.
You know, I think there's something wrong with the NFL playoff process that the Los Angeles Chargers have to go to Baltimore here. It should not happen this way. And again, you made the point the NFL doesn't care about fair, and I don't disagree with you, but this is the worst potential draw that the Chargers could have gotten. Worse than going, in my opinion, to New England, if New England was here. This is just bad. This is one where I feel really, really bad for Chargers fans, all 10 of them that fill that stadium out there in Los Angeles. I think it's...
Wow.
I think it's... Hey, I'm sorry, 20. I apologize. I underestimated. But you have a 19.25 implied total for an offense that was dynamic all year, that has Melvin Gordon, that has Phillip Rivers. That's crazy. 41.5 over under, 22.25 implied total for Baltimore. George, overall, are you buying this Baltimore offense as doing enough this postseason to get by, to be that team that wins? And heaven help me if defense wins championships this year. Like, heaven help me with that cliche and with, you know, all the people out there. Well, you know, defense wins, offense, the air raid's not going to do it. If Baltimore wins this year, I'm done. I'm going to go hide in a corner somewhere. But do you think they're good enough? Do you think this is a team that can make a run here based on Lamar Jackson doing just enough, the running backs, you know, ground and pound, and this defense being as good as it is?
I think, you know, if you're looking at two teams, I forget who I discussed this with, maybe it was Scott Engel, but if I'm picking two teams from each conference that could go to a Super Bowl from this weekend, from the wild card round,
right,
it's the Ravens and the Cowboys. You know, I think for the Cowboys is because I think they can beat Seattle. I think they're going to win here. And they've beaten the Saints already if they have to play with the Saints next week. So, you know, a good, they had sort of a roadmap there. For the Ravens, it's just that no one can stop this offense right now. And it may take an offseason for anyone to figure it out. And I like what their draw could possibly be. Since I have Indianapolis beating Houston, they'll play New England next week, if I'm right. You know, they win today. They'll go to New England. And I'm certainly not impressed with New England. And that defense is old and slow as it is. Lamar Jackson could have a field day. That being said, it's Bill Belichick. And I'll bring up this point next Saturday if that's the matchup. Like I said, you know, where the Chargers are the first team to play him twice. Well, Bill Belichick will be the first team that will have 2 weeks to prepare for him. Does that make a difference? You know, looking for that way to stop him. The first one will be, a team that played him twice. Now they'll have an idea. The second one, if the playing him twice doesn't help, will be a team that had an extra week to prepare. Does that help? You know, so I'm going to ride the Ravens here. I love the defense. The defense is either best in the league or second best after Chicago. That's my one and two as far as defenses. So I think I love the defense. Going to keep them in games. My only worry with Lamar Jackson, outside he's far from a passer right now, is he puts the rock on the ground too much. You know, got to have more ball control there. We saw last week in that game in Cleveland, that last second pitch, pitch to, I think it was Gus Edwards, or fan, but it doesn't really matter. But he threw it so low that it was on the ground, if it was fumbled. And they were lucky to get that ball back. That ball took a nice hop back up to Edwards, or else Cleveland would have had the ball at about the 35 of Baltimore for that game-winning kick. And they may not even be here right now. So that ball's on the ground too much, Lamar Jackson. He's got to learn to, then once again, a young player, he will learn this. He'll learn that ball is precious. You know, you have to protect it here. So that would concern me somewhat. But the bottom line is, I mean, until someone shows me they can stop them, I'm going to keep picking them.
It's a situation that I did not expect him to have as much success as he's had, I'll be honest. I watch him in college, and he's a dynamic athlete and a great quarterback. I do believe he's a great quarterback. I do mean that in the sense that with the ball in his hands, he makes good decisions. I agree with you on the ball control when running. But in college, he was great to watch, and he has an arm. He has a good deep ball. Does he need to be more accurate? Yeah. And I think that'll come with time. But we heard the same about other quarterbacks in the past. And I think he'll grow into being a very good, if not, you know, second tier quarterback in the NFL. I don't know that he's ever going to be a thrower that we see in the likes of Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know he needs to be. He doesn't. He's in the mold of run pass option. And Baltimore's built to play with him, which is fun to watch. I just am intrigued by how, to your point, do the Chargers in their second time through and the Patriots with 2 weeks, if they do end up facing Baltimore, how they game plan for him. Do they go to a spy? You know, do they go to somebody who's keyed in on him, sort of the box and one in basketball where they're playing 10 men plus one spying on Jackson the entire time? Do they do that with a linebacker? Do they bring an extra defensive back in? Do they have somebody with more speed out there trying to spy on him and stick with him the entire way? Do they give up a defensive position like that? So I really intrigued from a football perspective here on how this all shakes out and how Lynn goes to battle. And if it comes to pass, Belichick tries to figure out how to slow down this offense. We do have tons of prop bets here, obviously, from the rushing side. I do find some of the receptions and receiving yards intriguing as well. I assume, being you like the Ravens, you will take, -3 over the Chargers at home?
I think it's going to be somewhat close, because I don't know if Baltimore has the ability to blow anybody out. You know, they're not going to score 34 points unless they get defensive returns, which, granted, in playoffs can happen. You know, you saw that in pretty much the win and get in game Sunday night between Tennessee and the Colts. Once they had to throw the ball over and over because they're trailing, then turnovers happen, defensive scores happen, the score ends up being a blowout when it really wasn't. So that never surprised me in the playoffs. That being said, that was my long-winded way of saying I still like Baltimore, -3.
Listen, here are all the reasons that it may not be, but I still like Baltimore. I'm with you. And I like the road teams this week. I do like Seattle, and I do like the Colts in a large extent. But on these Sunday games, I have a tough time seeing the visiting offenses doing enough to beat the defenses that are on tap. I think I'm on the Ravens here, -3. I don't love it. Yeah, you know, I do think the Chargers have enough on the defensive side to limit what Baltimore can do, too. So I think if they can stop Lamar Jackson somehow or another, obviously that changes the tune of this game greatly. Let's talk about some of these prop bets. We'll go through some of my favorites and toss them at George and see what he thinks. Let's go with passing yards. We'll go with Philip Rivers first. 256.5 over under.
Under.
I'm with you. I think this is sort of like 220, 230 game for Philip Rivers. Now, that could win it again. Like I do think that and 80 yards from Melvin Gordon and a stout defense could make a difference here. But I think this is an under game for Rivers on 256. 161.5 for Lamar Jackson.
160, man, that's such a low number. And it's pretty much right on par. I'm going to go under.
All right. All right, I can dig that. I see it. I see it. Let's see. Pass completions. They don't have a line for Lamar Jackson here. I just see for Philip Rivers, 22.5.
Well, if I'm going under, I got to go under that, too.
Yeah, I would agree.
Got to keep going.
All right, pass receptions. The only one here is for Keenan Allen at 6.5.
He didn't do too well the first game against them. I'm going to go under there as well.
So they don't have receptions for the Ravens wide receivers, probably because it's too small.
Can't
a number.
Imagine why.
Exactly. But they do have yardage. They do have yardage, and these are good. So I want to get your take here. Hayden Hurst, 20.5.
I'm going to go over.
Willie Snead, 28.5.
Under.
Michael Crabtree, 32.5.
Under.
John Brown, 26.5.
I'm going to go over.
All right. All right. I dig it. We do have Keenan Allen, 83.5.
Oh, if I don't like that, I got to go. Yeah, I got to go under.
37.5 for Tyrell Williams.
He's the big play guy. Does he catch a big play? They'll put some balls up for him. Can he come down with it? I mean, that's really what it comes down to there. His volume's not going to be high. It never is each week. And he's been so disappointing all year. No.
All right. Let's go through a couple more here. We'll get to the rushing ones. Let's see. Total rushing yards for Lamar Jackson. This seems low. 67.5.
It does seem low. I agree. Love Sean. Over.
Yeah, I'm with you on over. Gus Edwards rushing 58.5.
Man, how many rushing yards are we going to give Baltimore in this game?
Right, exactly.
That seems low too, though. I'm going to go over there as well.
The Chargers do have a top 10 rushing defense, according to DVOA, so keep that in mind as we roll through. Kenneth Dixon, 40.5.
I'll go under there. Fine.
And the last, Melvin Gordon, 60.5 rushing yards.
I think they have to get the ball to Gordon as much as possible, whether it's in the run game or the passing game. They need to get him going and keep that that Raven Diva somewhat in check here. 60.5, though, really does sound about right. I think he's banged up. I'm going to go over, but I think it'll be slightly over.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a 75-yard day for him, though you do have Eckler playing, so that's something to keep an eye on. Good breakdown here. We have one more game to go in the final segment. We'll talk daily fantasy. We'll talk about the wagers. We'll recap some of them for those who are just joining. We'll also get ready to give way to college football today at the top of the hour. As we roll on here on FSD on Fantasy Sports Today, just shortened it because I wanted to, on Fantasy Sports Today here on FNTSY Radio, Dan Straver, George Kurtz. As always, you can find us over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. It's at Dan Straver, at George Kurtz. Next segment, we will open up the phone lines for anyone who wants to call in, talk prop bets, talk DFS, talk fantasy here in the playoffs. 844-843-6879. Again, 844-843-6879. Back after this, Fantasy Sports Day, Dan Straver, George Kurtz, FNTSY Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Straver, George Kurtz. Don't forget the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with an all-new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out the all-new lineup optimizer with custom settings and advanced grouping, customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities and simulator, outright and top 20 marketing betting tools. Market betting tools, I should say, head-to-head and three-ball betting tools, PGA Pro Tip, subscriber chat, and more. Go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, choose Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, click on Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. George, you play any DFS golf on either of the sites?
I play golf. I do not play DFS golf, no. I like golfing. DFS golf is fun. Love the golf. I don't know much enough about it. I'm a baseball, football, hockey guy as far as fantasy is concerned or betting. Any kind of gambling is baseball, football, and hockey. Anything else I'll play, but I generally don't gamble on it, no.
Do you play DFS hockey? Like, do you dabble there or yes. Do you stay away? Yeah.
Okay. I play a lot of DFS hockey. I think I think for a while it's been the easiest one for me to win because the Sharks weren't there.
Yep.
You know, they just weren't. You know, people, let's face it, hockey is the redheaded stepchild of sports. You know, people don't know enough about it. I do. I mean, I love hockey. It's been a sport for me since as long as I can remember, being I'm only 5'7", you know, so I was always able to play. It was always a good sport for my size. And living on Long Island, the Islanders were great when I was growing up, winning Stanley Cup, so it came naturally to me to play hockey and, I guess, root for hockey and live hockey in some ways.
Cool. We'll talk some fantasy hockey as the show rolls on. I am less involved there, but I do like playing DFS.
You're getting a call from Mike Cardano right now.
Fantastic. Wait, there it is. No, just kidding. Let's roll on. We're going to talk about this last game, and then the final segment, we'll talk about a couple of different topics around fantasy and recap the show and talk DFS and make sure to touch on some other news and notes from around baseball, some NBA, and some NHL, just to get people going on their Saturday here in January. I guess I was supposed to wish everybody a Happy New Year, right? Because this is the first time we've been on since then, but hey, you've heard it enough.
Yeah, screw them. Going here.
Exactly. Well, it's always that fun debate of how long into the new year do you wish someone a Happy New Year? Like, how do you, is it the first time you see somebody in the new year? So is it like March and you see somebody for the first time? Oh, hey, Happy New Year. Hey,
it's August. It's summer. Have a barbecue. Hey, Happy New Year, buddy.
I haven't seen you since the barbecue last year. Happy New Year. I hope it's going well for you. We'll see you again next year, and I'll wish you a Happy New Year again. Let's
talk. You get a week. Final... Okay? That's all you get is a week.
All right. Wow. You are stingy on the Happy New Year. It's fine. Philadelphia at Chicago. A game that should be low scoring, I would think, but one that does have offensive weapons and could be a bit of fun. This is another one of the 41.5 over-unders. Two of the games out of four have 41.5. Then you have a 43 for the Seattle-Dallas game, and Colts-Texans is at 48.5. So from a DFS perspective, you probably know where most people will lean because of the offense upside in that Colts-Texans game. So maybe we differentiate a little bit going elsewhere, but Nick Foles leads the Eagles back into the playoffs. If he could make some sort of run here, he would be an all-time Philadelphia great, up there with Rocky Balboa, getting a statue, I'm sure, somewhere in that city. They are -7, though. +7, I should say, the Eagles. -7 for Chicago here against the Bears. 24 implied total for Chicago, 17.5 for Philadelphia. As I said, 41.5 is the over-under. And I guess the live line right now is -6.5, not -7. So -6.5 in favor of Chicago. Overall thoughts here, George. How do you see this game shaking out? And then we can break down the individual players.
Well, first off, I'm loving what I'm seeing here because I expected this to happen. When discussing this game earlier in the week, Wednesday and Thursday with Mike, I said it then. I assume the Chicago money is going to come in and the spread's going to get higher because it was 5.5. And I'm betting on Philadelphia. So I'm waiting as late as possible to make this bet because I think it's going to get to 7, if not 7.5. Because the Chicago money is going to come in. The spread's going to keep getting higher and higher. I'm not saying that the Eagles are going to win the game. But I think you mentioned, I think this is a low-scoring, close game. And I think they cover. And it wouldn't shock me if they win the game outright. Wouldn't shock me at all if they win this game outright. I don't trust the Bears' offense. I trust their defense. I do. I don't think Philadelphia can score more than 17 points or so, you know, of 20 on the outside. But I don't think the Bears are scoring much more than that either. So I love the Eagles as far as getting a touchdown in this game. I mean, I love it. So it's probably my most confident as far as gambling bet of the weekend here. I said it wouldn't shock me at all if the Eagles win this game outright, but I'm taking my 7 points here. So I love the fact that the spread keeps getting higher and higher. Like I said, the two games I expected this to happen were with Dallas money and the Chicago money. I expected them to come in here. So that's why waiting was prevalent here. As far as the game itself, maybe for Philadelphia, if Nick Foles, I mean, my God, if he can pull this out, you know, then they'll go to the Saints next week. You know, I keep bringing this up because it's fun. But, you know, he wins this week, and even if he loses next week, or God forbid he wins next week, what the hell are they going to do as far as Foles and Wentz are concerned? Because they will then get some trade offers for Wentz, I'll guarantee it. They will get offers for Wentz in the offseason because they can't keep both. You know, Foles is going to be due a rich contract, and they're not going to be able to keep both. And he'll go someplace else. But they're going to get some offers. I think I don't know if I made you play GM. I might have, where I said, well, what if the Jaguars came calling and offered two number twos and either Ramsey or Fournette for Wentz? Would you make the deal? You know, I think they'll get some crazy offers like that, and they'll have a decision to make here. And then they pay Foles the big money, and they let Wentz go. I don't think they would do it, mind you, but I think they'll have some decisions to make where it'll be like, oh, you know, do we get the best of both worlds here? But unless someone over two number ones, I don't expect them to do it. But that's why I think it's just crazy what Foles is doing here. Is it another magical run? I don't think they can go far yet. I certainly don't think they're going back to the Super Bowl, but I think they got a chance to win tomorrow. I do. Mainly because I don't trust the Bears' offense to score, you know, 24, 27 points. Trubisky has been on a downswing again. You mentioned earlier in the show, Allen Robinson's going to play, but I guarantee you he's still banged up. Trey Burton has not been the player we thought he'd be. So I don't know if they have the offensive weapons, Dan, to take advantage of what ails Philly, and that's their defense, especially the secondary. I don't know if they have the offensive weapons to take care to take advantage of it, which is why I think this is a low-scoring, close game, and I want my 7 points.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. And I think this is a game that unfolds very slowly. I think this is going to be one that necessarily isn't the most exciting to watch on television. I think there's going to be a lot of punting in this one, a lot of field position battle. And whether or not we see some big scoring here, I don't know. I think it's going to be Trubisky on the ground having to do some work. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen being big parts of this offense and having to get the ball moving for the Chicago Bears. And on the Eagles side, it's Foles and Aguilar for me. And obviously Ertz. I shouldn't say Foles and Aguilar. Ertz is a big part of this team. But I think Aguilar has sort of seen a renaissance here with Foles under center and will be somebody against this Bears defense. The underneath stuff is there. They play that sort of bend but don't break, two safety high defense a lot of the time that doesn't give up the big play. So the burners and the guys who go a little deeper downfield, I'm not expecting to have a big day, but I would expect Aguilar in a world that makes sense, Golden Tate would have a big day here, but he has just not found his way in this offense at all to any sort of relevance. Did have 6 targets last week in week 17, but just 33 yards on 4 receptions. So he's been pretty much a non-factor for the Eagles on the year, whereas Aguilar, his price tag is down, but last week had 6 targets as well. The week before, 7 targets. I like what he can do. 2 touchdowns last week, and he's at a price point over on DK of $3,800 for Aguilar. So we do have a caller on the line. Kenny, thanks for holding. Your Saints are in the playoffs, but your home team of the Eagles play this weekend. What are your thoughts coming into wild card weekend in the NFL?
First and foremost, guys, happy new year. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. I can't complain. You guys familiar with the Masked Singer? I'm sorry, I got to divert here. You guys are familiar with the Masked Singer show, the new show that just came on this week?
Wait, we were talking about it earlier, the Masked Singer. Yeah, we were talking about it earlier in the show.
Oh, and Antonio Brown. I actually called that actually at the last minute. I said, that's probably Antonio Brown, just by his stature and all that. And I think it might have been George as well, but obviously I was wrong there.
Kenny, I don't know if you can call back. You're on a bit of a tough connection for me. It's a little hard to understand you. If you could give a call back in, that'd be fantastic. I want to make sure we can hear you while
how about now?
Oh, there you go.
Okay, yeah, I was on the Bluetooth connection. I'm sorry. All clear now, right?
Yes, all clear. Fantastic.
For the reason you guys just said about the whole Bears-Eagles game, that's going to be low scoring, I think the Bears are going to try to open up Mitchell Trubisky early and try to get the ball downfield against this Eagles secondary first and foremost. I think that the guy to look at probably maybe is Taylor Gabriel as far as the DFS. And as far as that, I'm probably going to be fading that game. I know it's the last game and all, but as far as the value and stuff, I'm probably going to be fading that game besides people like you said, Aguilar, maybe, Cohen and the defenses.
Sure.
But, yeah, so other than that, you got to – that first game is going to make a break to sleep because them other 3 games seem to be pretty boring. So that Indy Texans game is going to pretty much make the sleep. As far as Zeke go, it's a lot of money. I'm going to have him in probably half the lineups. But other than that, you'll be better off maybe going with Carson and going with like a Gus Edwards to try to save some salary so you can get Hopkins and T.Y. and maybe Ebron in the game as well. So quarterbacks, there's only 3 quarterbacks I'm looking at here. I got Mr. Trubisky going to be in one of the lineups. That's going to be the deep lineup, the big GPP. But other than that, it's even watching the luck. I'm not messing around with Wilson or Dak. I'm not wasting money there. if I lose that way, that's fine. I'm all fine with. As far as the tight ends, it's Ebron. I'm not really messing with Ertz here. It's Ebron, and I'm liking the what's the tight end for the Texans? I always forget his doggone name.
I mean, they have a few, but Ryan Griffin is usually
Ryan Griffin. He's 2600. I know people going to reach and go for that Blake Jarwin and the Cowboys, but he might be a good bargain as well. So, but main people got to have Hopkins and T.Y. I'm in that lineup. I'm just going to stack that first game really and pick my spots everywhere else. What do you guys think?
I think that's what you're going to see a lot of people do, and it's a four-game slate, so you're going to have a lot of overlap. You're going to have a lot of ownership there. I think the differentiation, to your point, is coming in the value from the other games, and can you get that right? Can you hit on guys in those later games that are in the lower totals who have some upside? To your point, Taylor Gabriel, I mentioned Aguilar, you mentioned him as well. I think those are sort of the places you need to go to differentiate your lineup a little bit. You're going to have ties. You're going to see, you might have some wild lineups at the top of some of the larger field GPPs, but in some of the smaller fields, you're going to be cutting the top prizes amongst a few different teams just because there are certain ways forward. DK pricing's pretty soft, so you can get in a lot of the guys you want to get in no matter what. You're not really breaking necessarily even with Zeke. So I think you're right. I think from an analysis standpoint, that go ahead.
What about these three guys? I got either him and the Chester Rogers at a balance out luck, or what do you guys think about Mike Williams definitely getting in the end zone versus Baltimore? What do you guys think about those three?
George, any thoughts?
Listen, I think Kenny said the most important thing earlier on. The Houston-Indianapolis game is the only game we're really expecting to be a lot of points scored, right? Well, we might take the over-under there. Other than that, every other game should be somewhat of a defensive game. Mike Williams, to me, is going to be too much of a game. I mean, I think Kenny also made another point. I mean, everyone's going to have the chalk players because there's only four games. So you're going to have the great players. What's going to determine the slate is players like Mike Williams or one of these low-owned tight ends, Jarwin, Hayden Hurst, Ryan Griffin. If one of those guys gets in the end zone, that could determine your slate there. So, yes, Williams could be that type of player where he gets in and no one has him because it's the Chargers playing the Ravens. We don't expect many points scoring there. But I'd probably lean more towards the Indianapolis guys if I thought they weren't going to be owned. Inman, Rogers, I like them both. Inman's going to play, or at least it looks like he's going to play. So I prefer Inman over Rogers. He's just playing better of late.
All right, at the team that I'm picking to win, I'm actually picking the Texans to win. Everybody's on the coast. I think there's going to be a close game, but I think if Houston gets out early to early lead, and maybe someone called the Texans O-line personnel and told I watching them to start running because he's been running a whole lot more now, and that's been getting his value and points, fantasy points up. So I like the Texans. The Seattle Cowboys game, pick one. It doesn't matter. I don't want
to
see Seattle in the Saints
game
in the second round. I don't want to see Seattle in the second round. I'd rather play y'all if I had a choice there, Georgie. We got y'all some feedback. I think the Chargers are going to win. I think the Bears are going to win as well. So I'll be talking to you guys next week. You guys have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
You too, Kenny. Appreciate the time as always. As we talk through here, we'll leave the props to next segment from this final Philadelphia at Chicago game. I don't see a way forward for Mike Williams, really. Obviously, that's a flyer, and you one big play is what you're looking for, right, George? You're looking for the home run, and if you hit it, great. You have 60 yards and a score and maybe two receptions. Definite upside there. I don't see the Ravens giving up big plays here.
Not even do I, but a lot of these games, you're looking for that guy who's going to separate you. Because Kenny brought up the point, we're all going to have the chalk plays, and that's easy. And we all know the Indianapolis Houston game is the game we expect a lot of points to be scored. So we're going to be looking for that player or two from these other games that no one else has that can separate you. That's how you're going to win this. You're probably going to need two players, and they both hit for you, to beat the slate. You only got four games. So I'm not going to be big on Mike Williams either, or Tyrell Williams, really anybody on the Chargers, to tell you the truth. But I don't mind the play because if it hits, guess what? What are you going to have, a 10% ownership there? So that's what you're looking for. So I don't mind the play at all.
Yeah, I think from a DFS perspective, we'll talk a bit more about this in the next segment. Your lineup construction is going to have to, in the large field GPPs, like again, talking about the $3 on DraftKings, the $9 on FanDuel, these tournaments that have upwards of 200,000, 300,000 entries. To win, and that's how you're playing those, you're not playing GPPs to cash, to get your money back. You do that over time, you're going to lose money to the fees, to the rake, whatever you want to call it. So you're playing those to win. The way the payout structures are, they're top heavy. You're chasing after the win. You're not chasing after the cashing. If you want to cash, play your 50-50s, play your double ups, play your single entries. You know, do the due diligence to get into the tournaments where your cash upside is stronger. I think we'll talk a bit more about lineup control. Exactly right. They are who we thought they were. Anyway, we can go through all the awesome coach speak.
Playoffs?
That's pretty good. That's pretty spot on impersonation there of, was it Jim Mora? That's who that was, right?
It was Jim Mora, maybe the best news conference ever.
Playoffs? Talking about playoffs? Right up there with Allen Iverson's practice. Allen Iverson's practice. Press conference.
Practice? Talking about practice?
Plenty to get to here, honestly, still, as we talk props and DFS in the next segment. And we close out and give way to college football today. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz here. Find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Happy to hear from each and every one of you over there and throughout the day here on the phones. Back with more after this. Fantasy Sports Today on FNTSY Radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
Sean Engel behind the glass each and every week for us here on Fantasy Sports Today, doing a great job on the ones and twos as well. Great music throughout the show, appreciate that. Don't forget, stay tuned for college football today at the top of the hour. We will be back with you next Saturday. We're back with you every Saturday. We will start to turn our attention towards maybe a little NHL DFS talk when we get the time. We'll also talk some MLB and, of course, keep talking about the NFL throughout the show till the Super Bowl. And then we'll turn our attention towards baseball and talk some other sports here on Fantasy Sports Day, the Saturday edition. Don't forget, you can find George over on Twitter at George Kurtz, and he is here on FNTSY Radio all the time. And you can find him over at rotoexperts.com as well. So final sort of prop bet run through here. We have some interesting totals to discuss. Mitchell Trubisky, passing yards, over, under of 238.5.
Under. That sounds like a too high a total for me, although I don't like the Philadelphia defense, but I haven't liked the way Trubisky has been playing of late.
I'm intrigued. This site I'm on, and again, shop around, find the site you like, and find the numbers you like, but doesn't have a total yardage number for Trubisky, which I thought I might see, like a rush pass total. I don't see that option here, which I was intrigued to see what that
we'll
I would say
somewhere.
250. Yeah, 250, I feel like, makes sense there from a run pass total for Trubisky. Even might take the over on that one.
That I would
Nick
go
Foles,
over.
252.5 for passing yards.
250? No, under.
Trubisky completions, 21.5.
Once again, that if I'm going high. Under with 250, yeah, 230, I gotta go under there.
And Foles, 23.
Same thing.
Jordan Howard, and this is where the other side of it comes in, rush attempts, and he's the only one with a rush total, rush attempt total, 15.5.
Too high. I was thinking 12. Sticking 12. This first number that went through my head when you brought that up, so I'm going to go under.
All right, quick receptions here. Bears side, Allen Robinson, 4 receptions.
I'll go over.
Taylor Gabriel, 3.5.
Man, he's so tough. And then once again, big play guy.
It's a good number.
It is a good number. But it's good. When you said the first number that went through my head is 3, so I got to stick with that under.
And Trey Burton, 3.
Burton is so hard to tell, man. I mean, there may not be a player I'm more disappointed in this year than Trey Burton. I'll go over there. Philadelphia hasn't been good. But, man, that'd be a $5 bet.
Yep. Well, what's interesting here is it's minus 140 for over and plus 100 on the under from the way the numbers shake out on this site. So take that into consideration, too, as you figure through where the money's coming in and what you're laying to get the over on a money line idea. Nelson Aguilar receptions, 3.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm over on that as well. I think this is an Aguilar day. Ertz, 6 receptions.
You know, it's funny. In some of those leagues that you play where it's a one and done, you know, once you pick a player, you can't use him anymore. I'm using Ertz. I don't love him today, but if Philadelphia loses, I don't want to not use Ertz in the postseason. You know, so I'm going to use Ertz as my tight end today. 6 receptions, though, that's a large number. That's a large number. But if Jackson plays in that defense, the outside receivers could have some problems here. I think I'm doing this for wishful thinking because I have been in so many leagues. I'll take the over.
Sure. Well, that's the way it works, right? You have to think through the entire process. And if you're using them in one place, why are you using them? And what do you think the upside is? Alshon Jeffrey, 4.5.
Under.
Yep, me too. Golden Tate, 3.
Another player, who the hell knows? Over.
All right, let's go to some receiving yard totals. Robinson, 52.5.
No, I think he's still banged up. I don't know what you're going to get from him.
And then we'll use Taylor Gabriel, 40.5.
He's the big play guy. I had 3 as the receptions. I mean, only one has to be a 25-yard, and he should get that total. I'm going to go over there.
Oh, it's fine. Oh, okay, so they do have Trubisky rushing, so I guess they don't have them as one total, but it is actually almost near where I was saying, so the total yardage. Let's see, for the Eagles, Aguilar, 40.5 yardage.
Over.
65.5 for Zach Ertz, receiving yards.
Oh, if I think he's getting more than 6, I got to go over there.
Yep. And let's do Alshon, 57.5.
Under.
All right. Mitchell Trubisky, rushing yards, 24.5.
Over.
Yeah, I'm over too there. So what was the yardage? It was at 238.5, 24.5 here. So we're at 260, about 262 for what the combined yardage would be. So I wasn't far off with the 250. But I do agree with you that over 250, I don't know if I'm going over 260.5.
It's 260, funny how that 10 yards makes a difference, though, isn't it?
Yep.
I love the over 250. Now the over 260 sounds a little high there.
Rushing yards for Jordan Howard, 64.5.
Under.
Rushing yards for Wendell Smallwood, 28.5.
He's getting a lot of play here. He's done some more damage, or they had bigger runs at times than Adams has here. I'm going to go over.
All right, and last one is Josh Adams, 45.5.
Under.
You know who's not mentioned at all in these prop bets? Yep. Yeah.
Oh, too bad. I would have liked to have seen how many catches he was.
Yep. Exactly. Like, and that's so. We were talking about going off the radar. That's somebody who I'm going to have in DFS lineups. I know this Bears defense is really damn good. I get it. But this is a guy who is getting touches, and he's getting touches at a low volume. I get it. But they use him a lot. He got 6 targets 2 weeks ago against Houston. He had 3 targets last week. He had 7 rush attempts, 9 rush attempts the week before. So he's getting between 10 and 12, maybe even 14 on the upside, touches per game. That's big enough for me here at 4,100 on a 4-game slate that I'll play a little bit of Darren Sproles to see what I can get. Probably worthwhile here, George, to roll back and go through each position from a DFS perspective. Obviously, we want it game by game. Do want to get sort of your thoughts overall in each position. I'll give mine as well. I have not done a lot of lineup construction. I built one lineup when Kenny was talking before just to see where I could get to. But I think there's lots of different ways to go. I do think the pricing is fairly soft. It's not completely soft on DraftKings, but you do have some flexibility in some of these price points. But at quarterback, who are you most comfortable with for an upside play at quarterback this weekend?
Well, so I think for quarterback, you only have 2 choices. Either you're going with Luck or you're going with Watson. I'm going with Luck. You know, Luck is thrown for over 800 yards in two games versus Houston this year. I don't think that changes this week. I think he's going to, once again, they're not going to be able to run the ball with all that much success. So I think he's going to have to put the ball in the air, and he'll have success there. And I like Watson throwing the ball as well here, but I'm going with Luck.
Makes sense to me. I think it's Watson or Luck. If you're playing cash games this weekend, bless your soul, because four-game slate, I don't know that I'm overly comfortable doing that. But I think those are your cash game quarterbacks, the ones you can at least project a solid floor for and understand what you're getting. I do think Kenny made a fine point. Trubisky has the potential to have upside here. I think Lamar Jackson has the potential to have upside here. I think that Russell Wilson has a little bit of potential to have some upside. I don't want Dak. I don't want Phillip Rivers. Those are guys I'm sort of taking out of the mix. Nick Foles, you've had a great run. I don't see you doing big things here. So those three quarterbacks I take out of the mix. I will have Luck and Watson on most of my lineups just to try to get the floor at quarterback. At running back, this is an intriguing mix of price points, right? So we have Ezekiel Elliott at 9K on DraftKings, Melvin Gordon at 7,700 against the stout defense of Baltimore. Then you have Chris Carson. Marlon Mack is at 6K flat. Tariq Cohen at 5,400. Jordan Howard's at 4,600. And then you get Gus Edwards and Kenneth Dixon at 4,200 and 4K respectively. You have Darren Sproles at 4,100. So lots of different ways to go. Who are some of your favorite running back plays?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. Ezekiel Elliott, 9,000. A lot of us are going to start him. He's the chalk play. All right, you should have a great game here. So you're looking for that secondary back. Maybe you don't want to spend up. I'm not spending 7,700 on Gordon. You know, I love Gordon, but it's a terrible matchup. I'm not big on Carson either, although 6,800, I don't think he's terrible. Mack, I don't think he has a good game. Tariq Cohen. I mean, I'm probably going to go with one of the Chicago backs. I mean, I may not love Howard, but he is getting the end zone of late, and it's not the greatest Philadelphia run defense there. So I don't mind going with Cohen or Howard, depending on which way you want to go there. You and I talk about Sproles, 4,100. I think he catches balls out of the backfield here. They don't use Adams in the run game at all, in the pass game at all. He doesn't catch the ball at all. So you just worry about Smallwood taking away some catches there. So I don't mind him either here. So I'm if I need to save money, I'm going with Sproles. If not, I'm probably going to go with Howard and hope he gets it to the end zone.
Yep, that makes sense to me. I think Sproles, Zeke Elliott, clearly the chalk. And then I think I might have some Hines here. I might go to somebody off the board, hope he gets enough receiving targets, 5, 6, and pulls in 3 or 4 and maybe scores. I hope for the score here from Nyheim Hines at 3,500 for the upside as a potential off the radar play that's at lower ownership on this slate, especially if I'm playing Luck. Get Luck and Hines paired up with T.Y. Hilton as well and sort of stack the Colts to hope for a big day from Andrew Luck and the receivers. Wide receivers, obviously, George at the top. T.Y. and DeAndre Hopkins are probably going to be at least 50%, if not higher, owned in most tournaments. I don't see where they're not. The question becomes, what do you make of guys like Amari Cooper and the Seattle wideouts, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, in that game? And where else do you see upside for potential, 100-yard/double-digit reception sort of game?
Well, I can't see how you can justify going with Cooper and not Hilton for $300 difference. And Hilton is torched the Houston secondary. So I can't see that. You don't have $300. Then I guess you're fine. You got to do what you got to do. But other than that, I would go with Hilton over Cooper pretty easily there. I'd love to get Hopkins in there too if I can. Just don't know if I can afford it there. So you're looking at lower owned guys here. I'm not going Keenan Allen, 6,900. Just don't like the matchup. I don't see major upside there. Not going Jeffrey at 5,900. No, I'm not touching that. We'll be going Allen Robinson either. I don't trust the injury there, how healthy he might be. Baldwin is the kind of receiver that can give Dallas fits, but I don't know how healthy he is either. I think there's some lying going on there about his health there. But his price is decent, where I can think about him for 6,200 or Lockett 5,300, hoping he hits that big play. I will most likely be stacking Indianapolis, which means even if I'm going with Hilton, I'm probably taking one of their secondary wide receivers as well. And right now that man is Inman, assuming he does play today at 4,300. I can't see how I'm not starting him. I do like Aguilar at 3,800 as well. So if I go with those two, then maybe I can put in one of my higher-priced receivers in T.Y. Hilton and still be able to afford everybody. So right now, I have Aguilar, Inman, and Hilton.
Yep, I think that makes a ton of sense. Hopkins, obviously, guys, play him. Like, 8700 is expensive, but I think Taylor Gabriel does have some upside here against Philadelphia as well if Trubisky decides to throw it deep. I like Aguilar a lot. And Dontrell Inman is intriguing, if healthy and going today. Tight end, I think Ebron is pretty straightforward here. I think Ertz is more than fine at 6400. I don't think that price point blows him out of the water. I will say this. Blake Jarwin, I expect to be minimally involved in the Dallas Cowboys offense this week. Last week feels like a show me game to really just get him on the radar of Seattle in a game that didn't matter, in a game that no one cared about. And we'll see maybe two or three targets for him here today. Do you agree, or do you think Jarwin's a legitimate part of this Dallas offense?
Oh, I agree. Listen, the Giants suck. All right, that's really what it came down to. The Giants have been terrible against tight ends for years. All right, that one play, I forget the name of the, was it Riley? The Giants safety who, I don't know what he was doing, making a business decision, trying to tackle Jarwin after Jarwin was past him. I mean, that was interesting. I don't want to tackle the big guy. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. That was just, wow. So the Giants didn't care. So, no, I don't think Jarwin. That's not to say he can't score tomorrow. It could happen. But he's not all of a sudden a focal point of the Dallas Cowboy passing offense.
Pretty amazing to watch. I just don't see Jarwin being a big part at all here this weekend. What do you got at tight end? Who are your favorite plays?
Oh, it's the obvious ones. They have the chalk plays. If you don't want to start Ertz or Ebron, that's where it gets interesting. I mean, who are you going with? If Henry is out tomorrow, doesn't get activated, I'm probably going with Gates for 2,700. It saves me a lot of cash. He'll probably get me 6 points. As far as three catches, 30 yards minimum, I'll take that. You know, I think he will be involved here. If you don't go there, though, I mean, where are you going? You know, maybe you do have to go with Jarwin number 3,300 and hope. But I think I'm going to, if I'm not going with the big plays, if Ertz for 64, Ebron at 5,200, if I need to save cash, I think I'm going with Gates for 2,700, assuming Henry's out.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Finally, let's talk some defenses. Who do you trust the most here? Like, what defense are you on that you think has the best floor, the one that you think will have some turnovers, maybe some upside from a point scored perspective?
Ravens at home. I like the Ravens at home tomorrow. I like them a whole lot. I don't think the Chargers will be able to move the ball all that much. They'll score about 17 points, I think, in this game. But they didn't look. The Ravens had the Chargers number in that first game, and that was in Los Angeles. I think it'll be just the same, if not better, in this game.
All right, George, we're coming towards the end of our program here on Saturday mornings. Great stuff as always. Don't forget, College Football Today is coming up next. You want to stay tuned for that on FNTSY Radio, also available over there on FNTSY, the television network. What's your final call here on each of these games? Who's winning? Who's moving on? And what matchups are you hoping to see in the next round?
All right. Well, first game today, I have Indianapolis over Houston, which would Indianapolis versus KC next week, which should be a fun game to watch. Second game, I have the Cowboys, and it's not because I'm a Cowboy fan. I legitimately think the Cowboys are a better
team. Oh, it's because you're
here.
A Cowboy fan. Come on.
Oh, yeah, like I'm a real homer. I only have nice things to say about Dallas. I just think they're better. I think they're the better team overall here. But that being said, I worry about Dak making the mistake and Jim Garrett.
Yep.
That's his father. Jason Garrett scares the crap out of me. But I'll go with Dallas over Seattle. Tomorrow, I already said, I think I got the Ravens over the Chargers. I feel bad for the Chargers. I think it's a shame. 12-4, yeah, go to Baltimore. Good luck to you. I think that's, don't lose to Denver. That's really what it comes down to. Don't lose that game at Denver, and you wouldn't be going to Baltimore.
Right.
But you did, so that's life. You made your own bed there. I got the Chargers winning there. This Philadelphia Bears. Well,
you have the Ravens winning there, right?
Yes.
Okay. You said
the
Chargers,
Philadelphia
so
Chicago game. Philadelphia Chicago. And this is why I'm taking the Philadelphia plus the 7. That's when my guy gets the 7. Hell, I'll take him 6.5 too. I think they can win this game outright. I truly do. Screw it, Philadelphia.
Oh, there it is. I like it. So we have two home teams. And two road teams here, and a road dog for Colts is what, -2? So, they're -1 in favor of the Texans. So, a dog, almost a pick 'em there for that one. I like it. I'm going Colts. Cowboys, Ravens, Bears. I think the Bears win this one. I do think I'm taking the points there, though. So thanks so much for listening. As always, thanks to Sean Angle behind the glass for producing our radio program here. We'll be back with you next Saturday and every Saturday moving forward for Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned for College Football Today. Find George on Twitter at George Kurtz. Find me at Dan Travern, of course, at FNTSY Radio. Again, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.